Well, hello everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of SPD Roll Call. We are once again coming to you live from the SPD studios. Once again, I'm Officer Matthew Friedel. Again, sitting at the longest table known to man, there's only one person, and that's Officer Ryan Schmidt. Ryan, how are you?
I'm all right. Hello again.
Hello, Ryan. Once again, it's just going to be Ryan and I coming to you live for this recording, so let's get right into it. What we're going to be talking about today are citizen-initiated traffic complaints. And what that boils down to is you've just seen a violation. Some guy just cut you off. You saw some guy almost get into an accident. Okay, so the first step in doing a citizen-initiated traffic complaint is pretty much reporting the traffic complaint.
That's probably the most important part is to get back to
that. So. That's how we begin. Now, your first step is going to be contacting Sheboygan Police Department and talking to a dispatcher. Now, the dispatcher is going to be giving you some or asking you some basic questions. They're going to want to know the license plate of the offending vehicle, the location of where you're at, and the type of driving behavior you just witnessed. Now, they're going to follow up with that and ask you if you're willing to make a statement or talk to an officer or to testify in court to the driving behavior. I mean, I think that's the key because we're not there. We didn't see what just happened, so it relies on you to, if you would like some enforcement action, you're the integral part of this equation.
I think it's easy for us as police officers to see something right and pull a person over. If we're not there, we don't know what happened. So they're going to be, they as in the dispatchers are going to be asking you questions saying, what happened? What did you see? Where were you?
Right.
And sometimes these small things that you saw lead into more things.
Sure.
If you call in and want to report this, they're going to ask you, will you talk to an officer?
Right.
And the reason behind that is if you talk to an officer and tell them what happened, that officer has more options available to them.
Right.
If you call and say, I want to be anonymous, that's great. We're going to keep an eye out for the car.
Right.
But even if we find it and the person's doesn't violate a traffic law, we can't pull a person over.
Right.
Because the anonymous complaint is as good as the person that reported it, that we don't know who the person is.
And the flip side too, or flip side, if you're being anonymous, but we still have a plate and we go talk to that person, and that person tells us to leave us alone or, you know, I was never in that city, pound sand, you know, there's nothing we can do. There's, you know, because it's anonymous, we weren't there. We can't help you.
Yeah, there's nothing we can do outside of just keep an eye out for it. And if we observe a traffic violation, we can make our own incident out of it. If we observe something,
right?
You may see somebody coming into town that's weaving and crossing the center line or something. As soon as they cross under I-43, they're driving better, but you may see something else yet. And if that's the case, giving us a call and telling us what's going on helps us out in helping address that.
Sure. And dispatch may just if you're unwilling to be write a statement or talk to an officer, they might just ask you, do you want officers to pay attention in the area? And we certainly can do that as well.
We'd rather get some information than no information.
Right.
But we'd rather get a lot more.
It, help us help you, it boils down to. I mean, we'll work for you, and we'll work on what you're talking about, but we need someone to talk to on this. You know, even if you give us a description of the driver so we can be on the lookout for that, or, you know, every little bit helps.
It's the who, what, when, where. I mean, what did you see? What was the vehicle doing? Where were you? They might ask you, that might be one of the first questions because we want to make sure you're within the city of Sheboygan.
Right.
If it's not there, you're probably going to get transferred to the county because the incident happened out in the county. Mm-hmm. But they're going to ask you, where are you? If the vehicle's ahead of you, are you willing to follow it? I'm not saying follow the person in the driveway.
Right.
If they're going down, going down Erie Avenue and they turn south on 14th Street, will you turn and just follow? Just keep us updated. We'll intercept the car at some point,
right?
And we can act on that. But again, it's imperative that you help us out and at least give us your name and what you saw, so that we can address that.
Right. And citizens of Sheboygan, please do not feel if you're following a vehicle that it's taking forever for a police officer. It's true. We are on other calls. Officers are trying their hardest to get to where you're at, but sometimes it's just.
You know, what you don't know is sometimes is that when you call and you give these information out saying we're turning here, they're telling us that over the radio, not to one specific officer, but to everybody.
Right.
And there's somebody pointing that direction and just giving us updates and we're heading southbound. There might be somebody coming northbound. They know what street to get on to wait for that person or to catch up to it.
So we covered your first step is to contact the Sheboygan Police Department, talk to dispatch. We also would like you not to be anonymous. You know, I mean, certainly you're right to be anonymous, but, you know, it's more helpful when you're willing to, you know, come forward to give us your information, and which goes hand in hand with you writing a detailed written statement. I mean, it goes back to, we weren't there. You were the only person that was there at the time. Give us, you know, as detailed as possible so we can base our investigation off that.
If it comes down to the point that eventually it continues on and ends up being falling into court, it's easier for you to remember those small details
right.
and quick write them down than to think, I'll remember that, and then a month or two from now, you're not quite sure exactly what happened. You saw
sure.
the car and they swerved. Where did it happen at? Some of the small details, and that's what officers do, too. We write reports
sure.
to help refresh our memory on some things.
We deal with that all the time. I mean, I don't know how many times for you, Ryan, that you've had to go to court on a traffic complaint that happened sometimes a year ago.
Sure.
You know,
by the time it gets to the point I would go to court, it's been quite some time that I have to go back and refresh my own memory, and that's the point of that statement, is to refresh your memory.
Sure. And there's a reason why every time you talk to an officer, it's a who, what, where, why, and when it happened.
Exactly.
I mean, you're just getting all that basic information. But again, writing a detailed written statement really helps with the investigation.
I think it's a small inconvenience. I'm not a big fan of writing either, but just getting that down, getting through it, it helps out just tremendously.
Right. And that doesn't mean, I mean, you can come to the police department, grab a written statement.
Mm-hmm.
You can do this on your own time. I mean, it's not a issue of...
If you find something and for some reason you have some other obligation, you can't deal with it at the time, that's fine. Come on into the police department. Give us a call. We'll come out
right.
and talk to you about it, even if it's 3 hours, you know, belated.
Right.
We can still. It doesn't matter if it happened that split second. It is somewhat imperative, though, if you think that it's being caused because the person's possibly impaired.
Right.
I think that's kind of important that we be able to kind of deal with that.
Impaired
on the spot.
What are you talking about impaired, Ryan?
Let's say the person's kind of weaving around the road. Seems like they're having trouble maintaining the lane of traffic. And let's say a drunk driver, for that matter.
Sure.
Or something, say, impaired by drugs or something
right.
like that. They're going to show you that driving behavior. I think everybody's at one point been behind a car and said, whoa, that guy must have been drinking.
Right.
And when you see things like that, it's important that we get that person off the road. And maybe the person wasn't drinking. Maybe the
sure.
person's just having, maybe it's time for them to not drive anymore.
And we've done that. We've done that where someone's reported a possible drunk driver and they follow the vehicle just like, you know, we would love them to do. And we intercept and we stop them. Turns out they're tired. Maybe they're fumbling with the radio or talking on the phone. I mean, there are reasoning or...
I actually had somebody that I got called for, someone that was passed out in a car. And talking to the person, and the person agreed to me that they had been drinking and all sorts of things. Well, what it was the person was actually having a diabetic reaction.
Sure.
The person wasn't yeah. drinking at all, but it was a medical episode, actually emergency at that point. He had gone so far down that path... That
right.
had us not going out there,
makes sense to me.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me.
If we had not gone out there, who knows what could have happened?
Sure. And you know, it's funny is that, you know, everyone gets in these mindsets that it's always a drunk driver. In Wisconsin, you know, we got a few bars in Sheboygan, let's be honest. But, you know, not everything is alcohol related. I mean, there are other reasons behind poor driving. Could just be a poor driver, let's be honest.
We've had some instances where there's been a disturbance and we've gone through and someone pulled someone over for driving aggressively, kind of all over the road, and that was actually how we arrested the person that wasn't from town, trying to get out of town, was because the person was all over the road.
Sure. Dukes of Hazzarding it out of the
road. Trying.
All right.
Sure, trying to.
Now, another step for doing these citizen-initiated traffic complaints is your basic knowledge of the rules of the road. I mean... What are some ideas? What are we even talking about?
I think even just speed limit violations.
Sure.
It's important to know what the speed limit is on that road.
Sure.
If you're calling about somebody going 40 miles an hour, or for that matter, 35.
Right.
And the speed limit's 35, not 25, well, it makes a significant difference
right.
in how we can deal with things there. You know, making sure you understand what a complete stop at a stop sign is, and that's they say the complete cessation of movement. So the person completely stops, the tires don't move anymore.
Kind of like Ryan dancing.
Yeah.
Right. No, I know exactly what you mean. But so let's say you were following someone and or something happened to you and you're pretty sure it was illegal. You know, go to the Department of Transportation's website. Just look at the rules of the road. You can find out yourself, hey, yeah, this was something they shouldn't have been doing.
If you don't want to call us because you're not quite sure, you want to figure it out on your own, go to the Department of Transportation website. They have a rules of the road. It's an overview.
Sure.
And what you should and shouldn't do, what's okay, what's not. There's the long statutes, which are long.
Right.
But there's a nice easy reading one on there. I just found it today. Just strolling through that.
Strolling.
So it's out there. I mean, roundabouts, rotaries, incredibly confusing for people. I understand why.
Right.
They have a whole document on their diagrams and how to get through those.
Sure. And it might just help you, period. I mean, I'm pretty sure, you know, when you have a guy driving up on a, and by guy, I mean anyone, but hitting a tree or knocking a sign, we all know that's probably illegal. That's probably
running a stop sign, we know that's illegal.
Right. But some of the smaller things, you know, like yield signs or doing U-turns in the city, you know, you can do U-turns in the city as long as they're not posted.
Yeah, the law's actually changed within the last year or two that if you're at a stoplight, you're actually allowed to do a U-turn unless it's posted.
Right.
And you look around and we pull up an intersection at Taylor and Superior, for example.
Mm-hmm.
There's a U-turn sign in the middle right in the traffic signal saying, nope, you know, the big U with the big circle and the line through it. No U-turns allowed. It's posted. You can't do a U-turn there.
That's what we call clue in the police department.
That's right.
Look back for you right there.
So when you see those, I mean, if you can do a U-turn safely, it's legal to do that.
Right.
But on the same note, if it's posted, you can't do it there.
Now, based off your detailed written statement, we can issue possible citations for this, whatever situation occurs.
You know, an example of that we get is school bus violations. When a school bus stops, the stop arm goes out, they've got the stop sign goes out, flashing red lights. If a car goes around it, that's a stop sign violation of a school bus.
Mm-hmm.
And the drivers actually report it to us. We enforce those.
Right.
Based upon the bus driver telling us, filling out a form,
right,
writing out a form, getting it to us, we'll follow up with that driver. They'll have the date, the time, the license plate, possibly what the person that's driving it looks like.
Right.
And we can follow up on that. We do issue those tickets.
Right. And we do issue tickets based off just citizen-initiated traffic complaints. I have written citations based off your complaints.
Yep. It's an ordinance violation. For that matter, it's a violation.
Right.
Same thing if you witness a disturbance. It's mm-hmm. treated the same way. Your statement is what we can enforce it.
Right.
Upon.
And even if we don't issue citations, you know, there is a thing called the driver condition report that gets referred to the Department of Transportation.
Yeah, and a lot of times you run into that. We have somebody, let's say we were following, we pull a vehicle over, they appear like they're drunk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got a call on it, pull them over. They haven't been drinking, but they have a physical ailment or
sure.
maybe just their age is a factor that their reactions just aren't what they should be.
Right.
We can fill out this form and it goes right to the Department of Transportation and that driver comes into the DOT office and has to go through a competency test for that matter.
Right.
Make sure that they're up for it. They have to go through a road test again. And if they don't, their license isn't valid anymore.
And that's even for, you know, even if you're taking prescription drugs and following it, you know, per doctor's orders, you know, should you be driving with, you know, some of this in your system or?
Yep, there's therapeutic levels of things, and there's an argument to say the person would actually be impaired driving with that if
right.
the doctor prescribes it, but there's enough of a concern in you being behind the wheel
right.
that if it's not a violation,
mm-hmm.
And citizens or the public can fill out the same form that we fill out. And I'm sure you can find it on the website, and I know the DOT office has it. If you have a family member or a friend, or a friend that you're just concerned about driving anymore, you can fill this form out, document why,
mm-hmm.
and the same reaction from the DOT happens if you fill out or if we do.
Right.
We just have a little spot in the bottom. We fill out seeing if we wrote a ticket or not.
Now, that brings us to citizens reporting possible OWIs or driving while impaired.
Yep.
Again, dispatch is probably going to ask you to if you would follow the vehicle because, again, it may take us a little bit to get to where you're at. Now, don't take that as, you know, we love to get drunk drivers off the road. I mean, we live for getting drunk drivers off the road.
It's a safety concern for everybody that's out there, and it's
right.
the people on the road and off the road. I mean,
right.
How many people go through front lawns?
Right. My family drives on the same road in Sheboygan. You know, I love to get drunk drivers off the road. With following the vehicle, you know, it's also, you know, supplying dispatch with, like, driving behaviors. What is he doing? I mean, everyone's driving behaviors is subjective.
Yeah, just saying all over the road doesn't mean much.
Right.
You know, there's certain things that are violations. Did he cross over the center line, or is he just within his lane but going back and forth?
Right.
Is his speed varying?
Right.
Did he disregard a traffic signal? Did they go through
right.
a stop sign? Are they, you know, are they in the wrong lane of traffic? I mean, things like
right.
that. Do they appear law? I mean, things that we should then that are helpful to us to help
right.
determine that hey, this person's probably not in any condition to be driving right now.
And I think what Ryan touched on earlier, what you're telling dispatch is what they're telling us over the air. So,
yep.
you know, every little piece of information you're giving us is going directly to us.
More than likely, when that person says, hang on a second, It's because they're switching over to the radio channel and telling us exactly what you told them.
So following the vehicle, giving great driving behaviors, and again, I don't want to keep hammering, but writing or being willing to speak to an officer and write a written statement. I mean, that, you know, we can stop a vehicle based off your written statement and driving.
If we have a person that's willing to be a complainant, for that matter, to tell us what's going on, and it's a traffic violation, we can stop the vehicle in that alone.
Right.
If you say, I want to be anonymous, this vehicle's here, and it ran a stop sign somewhere else, we'll still follow the vehicle. But if they don't commit a violation,
right,
it kind of ties our hands of what we can do. Now, we can still try and talk to the person and some other things there, but
right,
ideally, if you're willing to give us a little information to get into to check on these people,
right,
that's what we'd like.
And as everyone knows, when you see a police officer behind you, your initial reaction is 10 and 2,
mm-hmm,
head forward, trying to focus on the road. You're going to be more following the rules of the road.
You'll be on guard, and everybody is.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how many times they follow. Just in normal driving, you get behind a car, we've gone from 32 to 25, and
mm-hmm,
we don't exceed that.
Right,
like cruise
exactly
control.
So just to recap what we all talked about, you know, I can't stress enough, you know, your willingness to not be anonymous. It really helps us out. A detailed written statement and a willingness to testify in court. We want to help you curb poor driving, be it by the PACE car program or you calling in these citizen-initiated traffic complaints, and we'll work with you as much as we can, but we need ammunition to help curb this behavior.
And I think if you're willing to even just follow the vehicle until the officer pulls it over, the officer can come to your house later.
Right.
And have a statement. It doesn't need to be on the spot. If you're constrained by time,
right,
that's fine. We understand that. At some point, though, we'd like you either to stop the police department to give a written statement.
Right.
Or at least go home and let us know where you're going. We'll stop by. If you're in the city,
right,
no problem.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, well, all right, everyone. I think that's going to do it for this week's episode. As always, you can contact us with future episode ideas or comments by going to the SBD website, clicking on the roll call banner. Once again, stay safe and thanks for listening.